time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We back. Another week in your ear.
No doubt.
Yeah, another week in the crib on my side.
Good place to be around about now. Shit getting crazier.
Yeah, it's not a game. It's not a game. And it's getting chilly out there.
Chilly, it's cold than a motherfucker.
I heard it snowed in Atlanta. Is that the case?
I mean, probably in the rural parts of town. Okay. I mean, it was like you could see a few little drizzles, but it wasn't nothing. No stick to the ground action. It's cold today, though. It's like 30 degrees.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. It's chilly out here. It's crisp out here. I was almost starting not to believe in seasons anymore, the way shit is. You know, just everything seems to be so transitional.
Right.
But
now they're trying to squeeze that last little bit of money you got while you're halfway outside. Let's get something.
Right. Come on now. Just break bread real quick before you go in. Before you go in, just break bread.
Shit, we're gonna have to close these restaurants back if it get too cold.
That's what they're talking about down there?
No, not down here, but you know, in New York, it's the outdoor shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And they about to shut it down.
Yeah, when I was there, you know, They had the outdoor set up real cozy, you know what I mean? Social distance. Shea Oscar had it pretty good, the way they had it decorated and separated and all that. It had little heaters in each little pod. So that was dope, but I don't know if them heaters could withstand, you know, 20 degrees and shit.
Yeah. Shit gonna get tough.
It's like them LA Knights heaters, like, you know what I'm saying? 50 degrees, put the heat on.
Right. Then that shit drop a little bit. Now that shit is tough. You start seeing your breath.
Yeah, that Hulk. Yeah. Woo. You don't want to be outside trying to eat and your food get cold quicker than you could get it.
You know what I mean? Trying to brunch and you're shivering.
Shit, fucking around. Egg don't last hot that long, boy.
Nah, that shit done coagulated, nigga. That shit is that shit is whack. It is rubbery as shit.
Real quick.
Yeah, man. Oh shit. Speaking of brunch, have you seen any of this twerk gate situation going on? Are you familiar with what's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the happenings of the what's happenings. You know, tell us how does it originate?
I've only seen the video.
Right.
Where I seen this cat. He seems to be an owner at a restaurant, I believe it's called
True Kitchen and Cocktails.
Cocktails like with a K.
Yeah.
Right.
Must be a Kappa or something.
That's what I was thinking. It sounds like the Breakfast Club out in Houston with the K.
Mm-hmm.
But so you see this video with this cat, and he's speaking to these patrons as if they're his kids, but as if he's well beyond his last nerve. He starts out decent minded enough, but you could tell he's tight. He's tight. He said, "Look, I try to create a space where black people could come and enjoy themselves, you know, that I expect certain things from the gentleman here, and I don't appreciate women twerking in my establishment." Now, if you have a problem with that, then you could get the fuck out, you know, because I'm through. Like, that's where he lost me. You could get the fuck out, and I could just see how that boiled to that point to where he went and lost his shit. He was watching probably the security camera, and his assistant manager was like, "Marvin, don't go out there." "No, damn it, I'm going out there." "Marvin, don't go out there. You ain't in the right mind." "Damn it, I'm going out there. They're on top of my motherfucking my furniture. You see the motherfucker got heels on my damn, look at this shit. And I got to say something." They're like, "Marvin, just don't say nothing, please. They got cameras out there." "Fuck that shit. I got to speak to him. I done spoke to him twice already. This motherfucker's twerking on my good shit." What do you think about that situation?
Well, hey, listen, there's a few ways to look at this. There's a few things going on here. I feel like he was well within his right to tell people not to twerk on his furniture. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't think he was saying, don't shake your ass in my establishment. Uh-huh. He was like, don't get up there with your heels on, digging all into my table, scratching my tables, tearing my chairs up. Because this shit costs money. You know what I'm saying? The bank, hey, I'm black. The bank ain't give me much money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had to dig into my pockets. I had to go dig up some of that money I had in the backyard and put it into this shit. And this is all I got. And it's into this shit trying to make a space for y'all. So, you know, please don't twerk on the furniture. This ain't the club where they just throw that, you know, turn off the lights furniture in there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This some real shit that I put together for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind you doing what you do, but come on now. But then he went all a little off rails when he started to put in the judgment and the moral judgment on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Where he was like, you know, I expect the guys to treat the women a certain way. So therefore, I need the women to respect yourselves and not twerk.
Respect yourself, queen.
Right. So, which, you know, it's cool when you're talking to your children or your nieces and nephews and shit. Mm-hmm. Not grown right. Motherfuckers who in here drunk already off your high-priced liquor. You know what I'm saying? That's out here having a good time and growing than a motherfucker. You know?
DJ spinning.
Yeah. DJ playing back that ass up. And that's what we doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got a little carried away and got on the furniture. That's all you had to say. Get off the furniture, okay? But you going to turn the whole. He turned the whole. You know how that's how you, like, you get in a fight with your old lady, an argument or something. And you say one wrong thing. You got it. You know what I'm saying? You are fair within your right to be making your point. You know what I'm saying? And you fuck around and missay the wrong thing and shit. And now the whole argument ain't about what happened. Mm-hmm. It's about what you just said. Mm-hmm. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you feel, huh? Okay.
So
okay.
But that's what happens when you go out there. You ain't in your right mind. You ain't in your business manager mind. You in your own mind. And you thinking personally about them dollars that you put on them tables. So so now they out here on the internet digging all into his business. You know what I'm saying? Putting shit out there talking about he stole this from such and such. And you know how the Twitter go.
Oh,
he fell on the wrong side of the Twitter, so I'm not sure what's going to happen here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a casualty of the Twitterverse, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's tough. I saw people. Yeah, I just think he shouldn't. He didn't need to. He could have toned it down a little bit. His delivery should have been a little better. he snapped. He got caught out there. He snapped. It happens to the best of us. But it's not a good look.
Where he should have put a period, he put a comma. Kept on going.
and a couple exclamation points.
He ended with a couple of exclamation points, but he should have stopped at, you know what I'm saying? I made this nice establishment for y'all, and I appreciate it if you don't twerk on my furniture.
Right.
Period.
Please.
With a JT City Girls period.
Right. Damn.
Yeah.
It happens, man.
He'll bounce back. They gonna need somewhere to go.
Hopefully. Yeah, at some point. You know, I know the competitor gonna be like, you could come twerk over here, though.
I already seen them tweets.
We embrace twerking. Oh, I'm sure.
Seen them tweets.
Yeah, man.
Competitors pulling out that in the dog furniture for y'all niggas. Come on.
Right. Come to Death Row. You could twerk over here.
You know what I'm saying? They calling out his prices, you know what I'm saying? Talking about $125 brunch and that whoop, you know.
He had the place
to be tax going for himself.
He had it. Now it ain't the place to be.
I'm not sure if that's gonna work.
Can't twerk freely. It's tough, man. It's tough, man. I swear that Twitter boy, that shit, the internet is cross examination. They gonna get at you. They gonna get at you, man.
Yeah. Anyway. And you could be right, but it's like one of them situations where you was dead right. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Right.
It's like, nigga, you right and all, but damn, did you have to throw that in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He turned into a Karen.
Basically. That's the worst.
He had
a Karen on the black Karen.
Right, he had to put the exclamation point. You know, that's when they be like, when they start, you know what I'm saying, digging in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, he's attacking me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, have respect for yourself, sister. Which ain't
what
a
is wrong
I mean,
with you?
It ain't no red. Like I said, it ain't wrong, but it is the wrong context, the wrong time, the wrong audience, for real. Because you done sold these people liquor, man. You already know what come with liquor and music and and juvenile.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cheeks. Yeah, and them cheeks. You know? Now, let me ask you this. Because there's something I always, I've been feeling for a bit. Now, twerking has definitely gone the way of, it's way more universal than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a recreational sport at this point.
Right.
At one time, it was strictly for the pros. You know what I mean? And, you know what I mean? It was pro level twerking, and it was a few people, you know, not a few people, but it's people in the bedroom trying to see if they had what they had. But now it's damn near gone the way of the dab.
Right.
And we see a lot of twerking that ain't working. You know, you know what I'm saying? A lot of twerking that just look terrible. Shit. It don't really. I don't know what you're doing. That looks like you got a bout of epilepsy. That is not on beat. This shit is terrible. You need a coach. Please do not bring this into my restaurant or to this library or to this Pathmark. But it has jumped the shark just a bit. That's it. That's all I want to say. I just see a lot of twerking that don't.
That was
just
a question.
No, it ain't no question. It just, I feel like homie, but I'm just gonna put a period on. I'm like,
you can put a hard period on that. Bud.
Yeah, let me chill, because you know that's all. Everybody got the freedom, but everybody don't got the scale.
Yeah, nah. You know, I'm from Miami, so. You know.
So you seen it from the origins.
I mean, I wouldn't say the origins. The motherland probably is the origins, but
true.
It was a different kind of sport, you know, down where I'm from. It's actually, they actually have professional environments for it, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly anywhere that Luke was the promoter or the owner of the club, there was always some type of, wasn't called twerking at the time. It was either, you know. The Doodle Brown contest or the Pop That Coochie contest or the, you know what I'm saying, whatever the Skin to Win contest, whatever the dance was of the year, that was the contest, you know. Started with the Throw the D, Throw the P contest. And so, you know, people would actively come out to get this money, you know what I'm saying? It was pro level, you know what I'm saying?
Let's get this paper.
And I don't know.
It's like a DJ battle.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if I told this story on the cast before, but it was one night. It was a legendary night at Luke's on the beach when he had the club on Miami Beach. It was the epitome of Luke's power and Luke's liveliness. You know what I'm saying?
What was the name of the spot?
Luke's on the Beach.
Oh, there it goes. Straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. Two-story joint.
Right.
Real nice. It was a classy spot. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't expect Luke to have a spot that was that well done, sound system that good, food that good. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the party was always the party. And the thing about Luke's is it attracted everybody. You know what I'm saying? From street people, college people. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was in the same room, you know. And this one particular night, it was a Skin to Win contest, Pop the Coochie contest, Doodle Brown, whatever. And, you know, these girls got up. There was probably like 3-4 girls, one girl, you know what I'm saying? Then it all ended up being, you know, they put on the record. And, you know, it was two forgettable ones that you know, they twerk one working. And then you had this Puerto Rican girl who just went all the way for what she knew from the opening drum beat. Boom, she went first. Took off everything. Just, I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? She ain't waste no time. Usually, that's reserved for round two, round three.
Right.
But nah, she went straight forward. Boom, butt naked out here. Da-da-da-da. Then the black girl, this black girl had on a sweatsuit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Full-on swishy sweatsuit. Uh-huh. We're like, okay, well, right then. And you could tell
that
she could
be
move.
Could be complimentary too.
Yeah, it was. And she was moving. She was okay, boom. She got through round one. It's like, okay, that's respectable. But you know, this one over here is all the way out here. I don't know what her next what her next trick finna be, but okay. So
she's committed.
Round two, come on. She still, you know what I'm saying, out here. And boom, she came out with the Corona bottle trick. You know what I'm saying? She done twerked all the way down to the floor, picked up the Corona bottle, and you know what I'm saying? That was her trick. Everybody loved
Not with her hands.
Not with her hands. With, you know what I'm saying? With her lady parts. Strong, okay. The strong parts, the mother, you know what I'm saying? The temple of the world.
The Yoniverse.
Yeah, the Yoniverse. So, okay. Sweatsuit girl, you know, since she come out, you know what I'm saying? You know how they get in their little stance and get ready to get loose. Beat drop. She dropped the swishy pants. Oh my God. That thing was hiding all kind of. Woo! Lord!
Special guest!
Special guest appearance! So she won on sheer element of surprise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she was a pro at what she did as well. So she totally just took off and, you know what I'm saying? And won the whole thing, you know, man, and sent the old girl home with a head down. Because it was no, you know, it's never a second prize, second round, a second place prize at all, ever.
Right. No. Nope.
Win or go home.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to go home, you know, you been up there on the stage and everybody saw you, wasn't working, your twerk wasn't working.
Nah, not at all. Gaggle of thirsty motherfuckers though waiting to speak to you at the side of the stage.
Oh yeah,
though.
Oh yeah, because yeah, everybody yeah. know.
Yeah, they seen what you did.
Hey,
yeah.
Now.
Uh-huh.
Which was always odd though. Like, you know, it was odd to have the type of confidence it took to just jump up there and do that shit. You had to be, you right. had to be a special kind of brave. Or high. Or maybe, but see, I was young, so I ain't know nothing about being high and all that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was just like, or, damn, motherfucker got up there, did all that. Wow.
Or you needed the money. Or you needed the money.
You needed the money.
And I go ahead.
I think Swishy Sweatsuit was probably in that category, but she had her shit mapped out. It was a job. Right. That shit was professional. She knew. Mm-hmm. She knew her showmanship and what was going to win the crowd. She ain't sweat. She ain't bust not one sweat when that girl dropped all her stuff.
Right. Pacing.
Yeah, she paced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knew. Yeah, I spoke about this before on the pod, so I'm going to keep it quick. But I do remember being at a corporate event that Nicki Minaj was performing at. Mm-hmm. And she was supposed to do probably about 30 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And her set was kind of light. Like, she didn't do, it might have been a 30-minute piece.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little longer than that. But she just said, you know what, fuck it. For this last 15 minutes, we're going to just do a twerk contest. And I'm giving away X amount of dollars. You know what I mean? Now, this is a corporate event. This is a upfront. This motherfucker's working networks. This is management. Yeah.
I'm tired. You want y'all entertain me, shit.
Yeah, right. Basically, DJ, let's have some fun. And it started off light, but as the money started to accumulate, as the as the prize money got a little higher, you started seeing the rankings of the people get a little higher. People that might have had shit to lose, people that might have had some some underlings to look at on Monday. They was like, fuck that. I might have to go get this couple thousand dollars because now it's a few thousand dollars. Let me go ahead and show these motherfuckers that I'm not new to this, but I am true to this. And it was definitely somebody that might have been in the C-suite that took home the cash that night. So, you know, shout out to the the twerkers that keep it tucked every so often, you know, until... Till the price is right. Shout out to Bob Barker too. R.I.P. Anyway, man. Yeah, but don't twerk on my furniture. That's my good shit, please.
Word.
Whew.
Fuck your couch.
Yeah, nigga. I paid $125 for this breakfast. I'm going to get this shit off. Random. This is for the listeners. I was just thinking about this. This is a random question. You could answer to what's better if you had the one of the two, White Castle or Taco Bell?
I'm going to wait for the audience to respond. Nah.
Taco Bell. No.
I'm going to go with Taco Bell. Myself personally.
Uh-huh. Why is that? Go talk to me.
Because White Castle, we didn't have a White Castle.
Y'all have Crystal?
No, we didn't have Crystal either. Thing. We had this, I think Royal Castle may have had them little burgers, but there was only like one of them in the whole city or shit like that. But first time I had those kind of little burgers was at Crystal in Albany, Georgia, when my mom had moved up that way. So, you know, it was interesting. The onions kind of threw me for a loop. And then, so then you would hear White Castle on the rap records and shit. So the first time I encountered a White Castle was in New York. So East New York, I think. We was in East New York.
And Pennsylvania Avenue?
Was it Pennsylvania Avenue? Yeah, somewhere out that way.
That's been there for years. Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, same thing with the onions. You know, you scrape them off. But with the White Castle, it's kind of like the bubble gut scenario.
Oh, the murder burger.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't right.
A chalupa would do the same thing to your intestines as well. Let's not forget, you know. It go through you too, but what's yeah, I think White Castle. A chalupa. You know what? I don't even know what a chalupa. Chalupa is kind of like a. Don't get me to be fucking it up, because I think a chalupa is kind of. I want to say it's like a spin on a burrito over there, because there's a lot of different things that they chalupa, gordita, you know, whatever. But go ahead, I cut you. Keep going.
Oh nah, I was just gonna say on Taco Bell, I might be immune to the Taco Bellness. Now I haven't had Taco Bells probably since the '80s, In high school, my homeboy's uncle had a girlfriend. I think that was his baby mama actually, that worked at the Taco Bell. And, you know, she didn't give no fucks about giving away their food, especially close to closing.
Right.
It was always a pull up to Taco Bell and get stocked up for the evening. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I remember one point she gave us a whole bag of, you know how like the little taco meat come in a big plastic bag that they have. She gave us a whole big ass plastic bag of taco meat. And some shells, like beat it, like shit.
Do it yourself.
You know what I'm saying, like yo,
I'm off.
Like yeah,
that's crazy. Like a zip of taco meat and some roll up.
Right,
a chalupa is kind of like a traditional chalupa is more like a tortilla with the whatever, either, you know, the beef or whatever the filling is on top of it. Kind of like a little small, like, open-faced quesadilla, I would say. Taco Bell chalupa, they'll even fold it a little bit, and it gets a little, the crust is a little thicker, a little bit more dense than a typical taco shell.
Right. Yeah, man. But, you know, being from Miami, it wasn't a lot of Mexican around. You know, it was
okay.
Well, Cuban kind of town. But in New York, I discovered more Mexican than I discovered in my life. You know what I'm saying? Realized that I really enjoy a well-done chimichanga.
Good chimmy? Yeah.
Chimichanga. I'm like, what the fuck is a chimichanga?
Right.
Whatever this is, it's delicious.
This shit is banging. Yeah.
The best one I ever had was in Inglewood, California.
Okay.
That shit was official.
Mm. You know the place, or was it like a truck?
Nah,
like
it was a place. But we pulled, you know how LA got them alleys and shit. We pulled up in the back of an alley. I waited in the car. It wasn't like an official scenario. It was official, but it wasn't like, you know, a whole welcome to, you know, Mr. Chimichangas.
Yeah, it wasn't a formal restaurant per se. It was a stand, probably.
No, it was a it was built like one of the Chinese restaurants. You know, had bars and shit, you know.
Oh, okay. Plastic, all right, got you, bulletproof glass, that kind of scenario,
but it was like, you know, it wasn't like you pull up to the front, park in the parking lot and walk in and it's like the bells ding ding ding. Welcome to Chimichangas. Nah. Mm-hmm. That shit was, you better already know what you want.
Right. It's like a trap.
Yeah.
I could dig it. Yeah. I think I'd go Taco Bell too. I think I'd go Taco Bell. I just had this thought today because I seen they bringing back the gordita, right? And Taco Bell more so than White Castle, very much more so than White Castle. The thing with White Castle is I remember as a kid going to White Castle. And as a kid, I don't want to say I thought White Castle was the shit, but the reception to White Castle was, it was different. Like White Castle was a novelty. People were excited about it. It's back in the days, right? And there used to be a White Castle, East New York, right there on Pennsylvania Avenue. It's still there. But this shit, first of all, the shit is shaped like a white castle. You know what I mean? Like, so that shit is something. It don't, like, you know, McDonald's got the golden arches and shit. White Castle was built to look like a fucking white castle. What I remember most about White Castle, I think it has changed now, but I remember when I was young, even though these were some tiny little burgers, White Castle took dumb long. You go there, you know, you go there, they give you the, you take your order, they give you a little, like, your little ticket with your number, and you will be waiting in that bitch like it was a fucking, like you were at an airline terminal. You're waiting there at least 15 minutes.
Damn.
And then finally, finally get your little tiny ass burgers. And my favorite thing from White Castle's, more so than the burgers, was the fish sandwiches and the onion rings.
Mm.
And I used to fuck with them shits with some tartar sauce. And that shit was what I liked. And it was, you know, it was made to order, so the shits would be crispy and hot, right, and all of that shit. So I remember, I just remember the presentation of White Castle being like a moment. Taco Bell, I didn't get to it till a little later. I don't know exactly the first time I had Taco Bell. Taco Bell feels like more like mall type shit, or like, you know, yeah, like, even more like suburban, you know what I'm saying? Like at first you wouldn't see Taco Bell's like in the hood like that. Similar like 7-Eleven, like you wouldn't see them shits in the hood like that. So like, I forget the first time that I went to Taco Bell. I can't remember. It might even been like college, maybe before that. But you know, like gordita and all of that. And again, like I grew up on like American style Mexican food. I didn't really have real Mexican food, like Mexican, authentic Mexican food, till I was in my 20s, till I went to LA, till I went and I was like, oh wow, this is different. This ain't just ground beef. This ain't, you know what I mean? This is some real shit. This ain't old El Paso.
Right.
So, but Taco Bell, you know, they got the names Gordita and Chalupa and all of that. And obviously these are actual, you know, Spanish names, but the way they would like their advertising, they advertise way more than White Castle. I don't think you rarely ever see a White Castle advertising. I think Harold and Kumar might have been the first time that I think I've ever seen White Castle being talked about on TV anywhere outside of a White Castle. You know what I mean? Like, you know. But, you know, I think that might even been before It's What You Crave. You know what I'm saying? Like, Taco Bell, I forget what the Run to the Border. I forget what the Taco Bell shit was. But anyway, Taco Bell, what appealed to me, similarly to White Castle, is why I put them in the same ranking, is you could get a lot for a little mm-hmm. at both places.
That's
you
the whole point.
That's the whole point. You might be drunk. It might be the end of the night. You might be struggling as a college student. You might just be struggling as a regular motherfucker. Right. You got
in high school $6. Trying to stretch your little lunch money.
Word. Something. Let's get it off. And Taco Bell and White Castle are both there for you. Taco Bell is a lot faster than White Castle. But the one thing that I realized early about Taco Bell is because there's one round the way from me, and I wish I could say I hadn't had Taco Bell since the 80s, but that would be a damn lie. it's been a while, but it ain't been that long. But I'll tell you this, it was like they opened up like a brand new Taco Bell a few blocks from me about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I went through there, and this might have been the first time, maybe not the first time, but one of the few times that I went to a Taco Bell where you could see everything. Like, they got everything behind, like, a glass. It's like an open kitchen format. They want you to see, like, as if there's really a kitchen when there's not. And when you see that little diarrhea-like consistency of the beef that they just squirting on your tortilla, it could take you out a little bit. You might not really want to fuck with it when you see how real it gets. You know what I'm saying? Like, just when you see how the sausage is made, when you see how the gordita is constructed, you might think twice. But, you know, because it's really all about, for both of them, it's really all about texture and flavor. Whatever little sauce you put it on, particularly with Taco Bell, you're going to go put some Diablo sauce on there. Then you got your crunch from the tortilla, and you got your mush from the beef. Then you got your little wet crisp from the lettuce and tomato, you know. But, if I had to pick one, man, I think I'm going to go Taco Bell, because there's a lot more. You got a lot more variety, a lot of shit that you could pop around with, you know. So yeah. But y'all let us know, man. Hit us on the socials. Hit us in the comments. Yeah, let us know what you do.
That's interesting. Oddly enough, I just had tacos for lunch. Not from Taco Bell, but it's a place called Velvet Taco.
Velvet Taco. Interesting. How was it?
Them shits is fantastic.
Yeah.
This shit is fantastic. They had they have a variety of ones. I got the rotisserie chicken taco and a fish taco. Okay. The fish taco has something like a curry type of mustard sauce. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, coleslaw has the, you know, underbite. Coleslaw, but like cut cabbage, you know what I'm saying? Pre-coleslaw cabbage.
Okay.
Then the rotisserie joint, they call it a picnic picnic chicken taco. So it's like a rotisserie chicken with some semblance of some type of potato salad, but it's like very light how they do it. Then they have an interesting thing of like a garnish of chicken skin as like a garnish.
I see it.
I'm like, dang. Uh-huh. That is delicious.
Chicken skin is great, dog. Chicken skin is amazing. This shit is like a potato chip. That's the shit.
I'm like, this is crazy. So yeah, that shit is nice.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. They look good. They definitely don't look like Taco Bell. My nigga put his that looked like that was a real artist. That's a taco artist. That shit together.
Yeah, but I think they veered totally away from the Mexican theme. Totally. And they went in some totally different directions with the type of stuff they put in them. But, you know, they still go with the taco name because it's in a, you know, little tortilla.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they do bounce around. Yeah. Shout out to taco spots, man.
Yeah, that's all the rage in the gentrifying communities.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing. Like, the taco is one of those go-tos. Yeah, it's like the new slice of pizza for gentrifiers.
Like, in Bed-Stuy, it's like when the two taco spots popped up, I was like, wow. This is, and they like one block from each other. They like on the same corner, damn near.
Oh shit! What they call any? You fucked with either one of them yet?
Oxicana and forget the other one. I don't really like either one of them for real. For real.
Okay.
Oxicana is the one we usually go to most. Something about the tortilla is kind of dry, you know what I'm saying, which kind of throw it off. That's right. The thing about Velvet Taco, they tortillas be warm and moist. Some of them is like, depending on, I forget which one it is, but when you buy, when you get the brisket taco, they kind of sear the tortilla in some butter or some shit. Like, got like a little butter taste to the motherfuckers, okay. Man.
Right. Right.
It's like, man, you can't eat this good every day, man.
Yeah, nah, it's not, yeah. Oh, man. Shit. So, that sounds good to the motherfucker, yeah. I know I prefer a flour tortilla than a good cornmeal tortilla, which kind of makes me look like, I guess, a gringo.
No doubt.
Because I guess the authentic is the cornmeal. I don't like the taste of the cornmeal. I like a good flour. I like that shit. You know who got a good taco, though, if we talk a taco talk? Los, I think it's numero one tacos, or Los Tacos. Los numero, shit. There's one in the city. There's two of them. There's one on 44th Street, and then there's one in Chelsea Market.
Let me find what's it called? Name of it.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
It's at that's one of the ones that's at the bottom of the complex building.
No. I don't know. I'm not positive. I tell you right now though. Damn, what's that shit called? Los Tacos number one.
Okay.
Los Tacos number one, yo. That shit is fire. That shit is fire. There's always like a line outside, like, yeah. You know, it gets a little crazy. Yeah, that shit is fire. I don't know if it's the one outside the complex, but I don't even know. What's the complex been like, 57th?
No, it's like on 40 something. Yeah, it's at the bottom of the complex building. The Los Tacos number one is right there.
Yes. Yep, that's it then.
Yeah, I've been there. That shit was banging. I got lucky. Oh, Tracy, I was meeting with Tracy Smith, and she was like, let's go to Los Tacos. All right, cool. But we got lucky because it was raining. And because it was raining, it was no line. We just walked right on in. Because there ain't a lot of shelter for your line waiting.
Right. Yeah, nah, that's a good look. I just got lucky like that yesterday. I went to Patsy's uptown, and it was, you know, it was damn near storming, but I had to move my car on alternate side of the street. So I said, fuck it, I'm gonna run over to Patsy's. I'm gonna cop a pie because I want a couple slices, but you know, the pies are relatively cheap. Them shits are fire. And my plan was, you know, to freeze the rest of the slices,
right,
and then just hit them individually later on. Like, this moves me into this other topic. Shout out to my grandmother, because I definitely got this from my grandmother. But
I was just about to say, boy, you on some real grandma stuff there, boy. Go ahead.
My grandmother got me on this. Yo, freezing shit? No, I've never been one to really use the freezer like that outside of a frozen shit, but like, freezing shit back in the day, I might as well throw that shit in the garbage. Now, I guess amongst this pandemic, because in the pandemic, you'll cook a whole lot of shit. You can't eat all of this shit. You're going to kill yourself.
Right.
So you like start to break it down. And even prior to the pandemic, I started just peeping, just certain shit freezes pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, for instance, beef patties freeze well. Beef patties freeze really good. So I go to this spot, Kingston Tropical in the Bronx. I think they might have the best beef patty in the city, in my mind.
Authentic beef patties?
Authentic. But their shit is, it's authentic like fuck, but it's different in the way that their shell isn't like shrapnel. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know how you bite into a beef patty, that shit is all over your whole situation.
Right. Yeah, that'd be this frozen joints.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, this shit is a little bit more moist than like bakery, chewy, but the shit is
bakery style.
Yeah, like bakery. Yeah. Like bakery style, exactly. They do this one thing. It's like the meatloaf patty. They put it, basically, it's like a beef patty, but it's like a beef filling, mm-hmm. but it's cooked in cocoa bread. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, typically you buy a beef patty, you get a cocoa bread, and you put that shit inside the cocoa bread. They cook the beef in the cocoa bread. That shit is out of here. So, yeah, the shit is so good, even their veggie patties are popping. Like, their patties are all that. So, and they're not expensive. So, yeah, so I went there one day, and I was like, yo, I'm going to get a few of them shits, and I'm just going to freeze them, and I'm going to see how they, you know, because I've had Tower Isles, you know what I'm saying? I've had frozen patties in my life, so shit, if they start out better than Tower Isles, these shits must, you know, let me see how they hold up. Mm-hmm. And them shits hold up well. And it's a beautiful thing, because then you don't got to go all the way to the Bronx, right? Mm-hmm. So then I was like, well, shit, let me try this shit with this Patsy's, the pizza. You know, frozen pizza. I eat frozen pizza. You know, let me see how Patsy's freeze. That shit freeze great too. So, like, I've been freezing quite a few things. I froze that. I made a I'd had. Nigga, I sound like I'm really going through it on some real binge, on some binge guy shit. But yo, so like I've been wanting a slice of strawberry cake. Right, not strawberry shortcake, just like strawberry cake, you know, fake strawberry, whatever, how they do it, you know what I mean? There's a spot uptown that'll do it, but they didn't have the flavor, and the two times I went there, they ain't had a shit. Mm-hmm. So I said, fuck it, I'm just going to cook one of these shits and just, you know, make my own shit, you know, buy it out the box. Then I seen a recipe to where you could doctor it up to where it tastes like some bakery shit. You add shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to cook I got to cook a whole cake, but I'm not going to eat a whole cake. You know what I'm saying? I just really want a slice. But the spot that I go get the slices at, they don't got them. So then I cooked this cake, had a slice, and then I cut up the rest of the cake like in these thin ass slices. And then I wrapped them in plastic wrap, and then put them in like a little freezer container. Mm-hmm. And them shits, when you want one, you just take the shit out, put it in the refrigerator for a little bit. Then you take it out, put it on the counter for a little bit. That shit jump back right to moist. That shit is like, I'm trying to tell you, I feel like I'm getting away with so much fucking with this freezer shit. And yeah, man. So yeah, shout out to the freezer. That shit jump right back. Like, that shit sound, it feel like it was freshly cut. You like, okay. But anyway, man. Yeah, so shout out to the freezer.
Man, I remember the first time I had a beef patty.
Okay.
And I was little. I was probably like 5-6 years old. And it was some kind of temple. You know how they had these organizations where they had like the little burgundy hats, like on Fred Flintstone and shit? The Grand Poobah and all that shit.
The Lodge.
The Lodge. So it was like a lodge. And, and on 95th Street in Miami, across right across from Central High School, and
okay,
in front of the lodge they had, I guess, like a bakery that sold beef patties. I didn't even know nothing about Jamaicans at the time, so let alone Jamaican food. Mm-hmm. Man, I ate a beef patty. It was like mind blowing. It was like, man, what the? Yeah. It was so exotic. You know what I'm saying? The mix of like pastry. But then it had like meat in it, and the seasonings was like, man, what in the world? And see, back then, it wasn't like the little diarrhea taco beef in it. It was like chunks of beef.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, the real moist pastry covering. Man, that shit was like, you ever seen Ratatouille?
I have kind of. I think, yeah, I've seen it.
When the first time he ate the ratatouille, and it like took him all the way back to his childhood and shit. It was like,
right.
That's how it felt the first time I had a beef patty. Like, God, transported me somewhere else. But, you know, that was that. But, yeah.
Nah. I couldn't even remember the first time I had a beef patty, man. Them shits. And they grew up on them shits. But if you ever, when you get back to the city, when the city, you know, opens up, I mean, it's open, but, you know, It's worth taking a ride to Kingston Tropical.
Word.
That shit is fire. Yeah, man. That shit is fire. And it's not, it is not the no texture beef. Like, the beef got some substance to it. Yeah, the shit is fire. Anyway. Yeah, man. Speaking of all of this, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was cool. It was appropriately social distance and very calm and light. Mm-hmm. You know, just our immediate pod and two others.
Okay.
But we all ate in separate rooms. It was strange, but it was Thanksgiving. Mm. And
it
was a good time. We got through it.
We got through it. That's fucking hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It's like everything else in 2020. Shit. Funk Flex getting liposuction. He got through it. Goddamn.
Ooh, man.
Nate Robinson getting knocked the fuck out by a YouTube star. He'll get through it. I guess. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, man. You know, it's going to be a minute. It's going to be a minute. You got to let the niggas get these jokes off. You just got to stay low and let them keep firing. You know, just hope you don't get hit too many times. Just let these niggas run out of ammo. It might take a few days. It might take a few weeks. It might come back every so often.
It's going to come.
This Nate Robinson thing. Yeah. This Funk Flex shit. Both of them going to be.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to be in the ether for a while.
Yeah, Nate Robinson is it won't be quite as a Jordan meme, but it's going to be, they're going to use that one for a while. I can see that one coming back. Especially the one with him falling and it looked like it's all out of focus, like it's spinning and shit. You see his,
which one is that?
It's the like last it's one like, or? It's like he on the way down to the canvas. He hasn't hit the canvas yet. So it's like a picture of him on the way down, but since he in motion, you got that motion blur to it, and then his hair is all going crazy.
Right.
It's a bad look.
Yeah, man. That last one, when he basically skidded on his neck and face, that shit was concerning. That shit was like, oh, hell nah. First of all, they didn't look like they had the same weight class at all.
My man was much bigger.
Yeah, and way bigger.
And people don't understand that when it comes to real technical boxing, that shit matters a lot. It ain't like a street brawl where you could equalize the odds. Nah. I mean, motherfucker got that reach on
like
you.
It did look like an ass whipping.
He got that reach on you.
All the way technical.
Yeah. Well, he had the reach and the height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Nate, it was tough. He had to walk through that, and he couldn't get through that. And you seen it. It was terrible for him, man. And what was crazy was, I don't know if they had the same rules as Roy and Mike, but on the Roy and Mike rule sheet, there was no knockouts allowed.
Right.
He knocked Nate the fuck out. He said, fuck this. Fuck these rules. I'm knocking this nigga out.
And it certainly didn't have the same rules.
Oh, shit, man. That shit was so crazy. Only thing that made it good. Go ahead.
It's like, you young internet niggas, go ahead and kill yourselves.
Right. Right. Oh, my goodness. Only the thing that made it palatable was Snoop.
Right.
Singing Precious Lord. Take my hand. Oh, shit.
Good night, Irene.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Woo.
Yeah, Snoop.
What you think of the Tyson Joe's? Oh, go ahead. Talk about
Snoop. Snoop came up off of this, though. This put, and it was supposed to be Lil Wayne, so that was a double come up where you get to perform your hits and just talk shit.
Right, right. Which you could do, he could do both in spades.
In spades.
Yeah, man. Nah, he killed that shit. What you think of Roy Jones and Mike Tyson?
Well, I think Roy Jones probably got a few broken ribs. He's probably nursing some broken ribs at the house right now.
He was punishing them ribs.
I mean, I think, you know, like Roy head moved faster than his body. So, you know, Tyson couldn't really, he wasn't really tagging him in the head. It looked like he wasn't trying to tag him in the head from my
It felt like he was pulling some punches a little bit. Yeah, I felt like,
man, I could kill him, but let me work this body out.
Right. But, hey, let me make him feel it. I'm gonna let him know he lucky. I'm gonna let this nigga know. I'm not gonna give him CTE, but I'm gonna fuck his whole abdomen all the way up.
Yeah. That nigga Roy said, man, when he hits you, it hurts.
She said that shit for sure. It was so honest. That shit brought out so much fucking honesty. That shit was like a lie detector test. Oh man.
I mean, it's quality entertainment for the COVID era. You know.
Yeah.
He did it for the culture.
Yeah. Roy still more elusive than I expect. I mean, that you forgot. Right, you know, obviously. Right. Neither one of them got the same step as they used to, right. But like Tyson still got that power. Roy still is agile. So like there was times when he caught Tyson a little bit or ducked out the way in the nick of time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I do think that Tyson was getting like, I think he was pulling punches. I don't think he wanted to tear his head off because if he was determined to do that, he would have done it. And I do think that that's why a lot of that clinching happened. Boy, it was like, hold on now. I'll eat these to the rib cage because I don't want you to just get your I don't want you to Nate Robinson me. Right. I don't need that tonight.
We don't need that.
I do not need that shit.
But
one thing I like about Tyson, we've talked about this shit before, but like I said, you know, Tyson is like yin and yang personified. Mm. You know, like he is as introspective as he is intimidating. You know what I mean? Like he'll scare the shit out of you, but then he'll unpack why you shouldn't be afraid of him, why he's just as afraid of you as you are of him. And why, if you know what I mean, like he's got a level of it's like double black belt vulnerability. And you know, that's true. And as a black man, you might only be able to truly get to that level of vulnerability after you've been damn near a killer in life. Like, you gotta have the Iron Mike Tyson to cut that with. You know what I'm saying? Because the type of shit that you could open yourself up to will almost provoke a motherfucker to say, nigga, if you don't get your bitch ass out of here with that bullshit, you know what I mean? But then you forget. No, wait a minute. This is Iron Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He'll tear your head off.
And then you Boosie.
Let him speak. Yeah. You saw Boosie had to just listen. He had to listen.
Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Just listen, nigga. Use your inside voice. Nod your head. Yeah, man.
Oh, Boosie cried in the car. He cried in the car.
You talking this was not the meeting he expected.
Ah, fuck Mike Tyson up, boy. Wait till I see that nigga again. But you was right there with him. Man, fuck that shit.
Yeah. That shit was crazy. That shit was wild, man.
But don't get it twisted, though. You don't want to run up on Roy Jones on the try to get a little street fight.
Oh, hell no. No. Especially this week. Especially this week where niggas might think it's sweet.
Nah.
Yeah, this is this. He had to prove it to you.
Yeah, don't get the wrong idea as a regular joker.
Yeah, no. Roy still. Somebody tried to run up on Tyson, though.
When?
After the fight. He was walking outside. Yeah, people was asking for autographs. And then some dude was like, well, yo, why can't you fight me? Or some shit like that. And Tyson was, you know, being cool, like, yo, it won't go the way you want it, brother. You know what I mean? Like, trying to be cordial. Right. And then I guess the cat made a move, like he was going to his waistband to get some shit. And then Tyson's squad, like, neutralized the whole situation. They say this cat has run up on him before, so he might be, you know, he might be off.
Right.
You know what I mean, or trying to get paid.
Right, or, you know, wanting to clout. But, you know, Tyson's fights bring that out of people. I done been at a Tyson fight in a regular house. And, you know what I'm saying, after the fight, niggas get to fighting because they want to fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, that's what happened to Tupac. That's what Tupac was kicking that nigga head in at the casino after the Mike Tyson fight.
Shit is kinetic. It's true as fuck. That's what I missed. Because I did see I didn't pay for the fight, but I caught the fight on a few different, you know, first there was a leaked stream. The shit obviously conked out right as the shit started. I got everything else, and the shit conked out, and that fight was like 20 minutes. It was real fast, so I missed damn near everything. Then there was a YouTube joint, which was cool. But then somebody put, I guess they Instagram lived it. And whoever Instagram lived it had a fight party. It was just a person like live in the television. And it felt good because that was the context you need to see it in. You need to see the, ooh, and I, oh, shit. You need all of that that energy. You know what I mean? Because my energy was just me, Dolo, sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't what you bring about with a fight party. So that was kind of cool to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it'll definitely bring the tough guy out of you. You get slapped. You realize that's not your life.
Get rocked.
Yeah. Somebody got to slap you a few times to wake you up. You know what I mean? Now it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Now it's definitely on the internet. Don't even worry about it. Don't open your phone or your laptop because there's evidence circulating. Oh, shit, bro. Speaking of a vibe, well, actually, we'll get to that in a second. Two things. Were you watching? I know I talked about it last week. I don't think you weren't watching The Undoing at all.
No, I haven't. Right? No, I guess got caught up on Fargo.
Okay. Did you see the finale on Fargo?
Of course.
Okay. Let's talk about that shit. What you think? How you feel?
Well, I was not disappointed. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I knew how they slowed down the last couple of episodes that it was going to be, you know what I'm saying, a more thoughtful finale than a action pack. But I enjoyed the twists and the turns of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the outcome per se. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to see it happen the way it happened, but, you know, he put himself in that position. Yep. So, you know, hey. No, every dog has his day. You know what I'm saying? It all comes back. So I like the fact they threw it to that it was a origin story for Mike Milligan.
Right. So is that what was going on at the end? Because I didn't get that. So Mike Milligan is coming to Kansas City to avenge?
Nah, the son is Mike Milligan.
How did you figure that out?
The internet.
Oh, okay. I was like, this motherfucker's a genius.
I was like, damn, what the fuck is going on? Like, why? Because what I did when I started watching season four, of course, I skipped 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
I was doing a little research, and then I saw that Bokeem Woodbine was Mike Milligan. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to catch his season next. So I looked him up on, you know, I did the little internet, the YouTube, you know, reels, and it's like the best of Mike Milligan, you know what I'm saying? And showed all the scenes and shit. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to check that out next. But when they showed him, I'm like, damn, why would they show him in this shit? This is crazy. Shit. But then, you know, he was flashing back to walking down that same road and all that shit.
I didn't know that was a flashback. I thought Mike Milligan and Satchel, I thought they were gonna converge upon each other. I thought like when Satchel was walking, Mike Milligan was passing through. I didn't catch the fact that that was him later on in life.
Yeah, interesting. That's what I thought too, but I was like, damn, this dude in a 70s car with a 70s afro. It's supposed to be the 50s. So, you know, of course, what do? You go to the internet.
Go to the internet,
And then the internet, you know what I'm saying, broke it down. I'm like, ah, that's dope. Right. So now I got to go back and watch the season with Mike Milligan in it.
Which is arguably, I still think that's the best Fargo season. That shit's fire. And I think that's Bokeem Woodbine's probably his best performance. Like, that motherfucker killed that shit. He killed it in Queen of Slim, too. But, like, that Fargo run, that was like, okay. Okay. Yeah. It was good.
Once I read up on it, you know, the writers were saying that they created season four to do his backstory.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so all those characters came out of, you know, how do we set up Mike's origin story?
So I might have to rewatch that season myself.
Yeah, so that was cool. But I fuck with. I like how because I really didn't get how that one ring was gonna solve the whole war and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because she ain't say much. She just, here's the newspaper and here's the ring. I'm like, what the shit? How the fuck that solve anything?
Right. what did the internet say? Because I didn't get it either.
No, I mean, once I watched it, I understood it, how it all played out. I didn't go to the internet for that. It was just the fact that he could get the brother out of play based off of the fact that.
Okay, he set up because of the nurse.
Yeah, the nurse shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So. Yeah. Cause the daughter, you know, she seen the nurse at the funeral, you know what I'm saying? And the nurse was talking to that son at that funeral. So I could see how she could have put all that together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She had the ring, boom, take this ring, bang, put it all together. And then he's like, oh shit, it was smooth how he worked it out, but he got fucked in the end. He was like, how Clubhouse gonna do niggas?
I love this theory. Y'all niggas don't get too comfortable. They about to pull a wall.
They gonna pull it.
Sorry, this is private now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Your algorithm doesn't exist.
Right.
Persona non grata.
Gen pop.
You niggas talk to yourselves.
Over there. Ah, shit, man. Yeah, man. I thought that I like how I hated to see Jason Schwartzman die, but I like that scene with Orietta and Jason Schwartzman when they popped him. Mm-hmm. It was like, any last words? She was like, well, I'd like to see him go first to see so I could watch it.
I want
to
watch it.
And just let it. Yeah, she watched it. She took it in, and then she got rocked.
And then she watched her own too. That's the thing, because remember they show her looking at herself in the reflection.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she was able.
Yeah.
So she was able to get to at least see her last moments.
Right.
Before you know, I guess the bullet pierced her head or whatever. But
I thought that was crazy. That was dope. You know, they got great scenes throughout the whole shit. So I thought that was a really dope scene. I legitimately got chills when Chris Rock discovered, when Lloyd discovered Satchel in the bed.
Right.
When that nigga like, I felt that shit. I was like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, that's got to be great, you know? And then at the very end, when the aunt, I forget her name, my homegirl stabbed Chris Rock. She played the fuck out of that whole scene. Yeah. First when she banged him, bing, and then looked this nigga in his eye as he was dying. It was like, that's for, I forget her name too, that's for Shalala. Yeah, that's for her. Like, look, you dead in your eye, nigga. No, this is what this was about. Right. Like, this was personal. I want you to see this. I need you to see me. And then when Satchel came out, she looked at Satchel and hit this nigga with the
typical grown folk doing wrong ass.
Right. Now you stay cool, drop that knife, it is sauntered way off.
And still out of jail.
Right. Outlaws, they say. They outlaws. They don't see themselves as criminals. They are outlaws. So, she said, I had to hit you for that. And she hit him good. Bing, bing. And then when Chris Rock died with his eyes all open looking at Satchel, I dug it. I was like, he committed to that shit. That was a moment.
That was the comedy of the shit. Like, y'all really going to let the man die like this with his mouth wide open?
Eyes open, the whole shit. He was aware.
He didn't even get the head drop death. He didn't get the...
Right.
It just... This shit was wide open, agape.
Yeah. Word. But it was such a contrast too, because he looking through, like, shit was real nice for him. It was like perfect resolution, so it felt. And you realize, I didn't catch it the first time, But I, so when I watched it again, I peeped it. Once he told his drive, I forget his man, but his right hand, yo, go ahead, the war's over. I was like, oh, he's about to get rocked. Yeah. It's too perfect. Motherfucker in there playing the sax, playing the trumpet and shit. Everybody mm-hmm. chilling, jazz. It's looking good in there, the whole family back. Nah, Pop. Man,
the movies don't let the gangsters get a life after a crime.
Uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? Not at all.
Yeah, they never get to be a schmuck. That's either where the shit start and it goes in the back, or that's where it ends.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, Goodfellas, when I'm just going to be a schmuck.
Nope. Yeah, exactly. I guess Irishman may have had the closest to it.
Man, that shit was so long. I can't even remember how that shit ended.
Yeah. This shit was like a mini series. I want to watch it again, though, but it's definitely a commitment. Yeah, man, but you didn't see The Undoing, so I'm not gonna.
I heard that shit was crazy, so I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, that shit is good, man, and I'm not gonna spoil nothing for you. That shit was good. You'll enjoy it.
I'll catch up.
I tell you another thing that I watched. I talked a little bit about it last week, but since I binged watched Industry, another show on HBO, that shit good too. That shit's different. That shit is like, it's kind of like Wall Street. In like the movie Wall Street, but like in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of the center of it is a black woman, like a young black woman. Like she just got out of, it's like basically a story about these young, finance, employees that are in like a graduate program. They just got out of college. You know what I mean? I guess the lead character, her name is Harper Stern. She's a black girl. She went to Binghamton, so it's not like a super celebrated college, mm-hmm. you know. And she's in London, so she's from, you know, she's from the States, but she's from London, and she's in London at this like prestigious finance firm, Pierpoint. And basically, this program is like, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks or some shit like that, but it's very competitive. And at the end of it, you know, you got to state your case for why you should be there based on your performance in the program and based on, you know, how you present your case. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it basically chronicles all of that shit. So it's got all of that like toxic alpha finance energy. You know what I'm saying? Like moments where it's like about entitlement and wealth and, you know, people, motherfuckers trying you, you know what I mean? Like the whole shit, is really good. Mm-hmm. That shit is really good. Yeah. That shit is really good, man. It's worth checking out. It's like eight episodes. And, I sped through that shit, but then, that shit was good. But then probably the last thing I'm going to talk about, like just as far as, did you see Lovers Rock?
No, I mean, I just heard about it like Sunday night or some shit like that.
Okay.
I didn't even know it existed.
It just came out Saturday. Yeah, it just came out. It's the second one of the men. We saw about the whole Small Axe thing that Steve McQueen got these series of like movies or whatever.
Right.
So this one, the first one was Mangrove, which was, like I said, but this shit was fire. Like, I like this a lot. It's almost like House Party,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? But like the Jamaican version, like the reggae, you know what I mean? Like it's just like a real, like a House Party bashment type shit, real, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's all, you know, it's in, I want to say it's in London. I think they in London. You know, it opens up basically. You know, you see people getting ready for the party. You see this one woman, they following her. This girl, she's kind of sneaking out, you know what I mean, to go out that night. You see them getting ready, getting the crib ready, moving the furniture and shit, putting it in the other room. You see the some people in there cooking up, like, curry goat and, you know, curry chicken and shit like that. They're going to be selling plates at the shit. That was when I told you the trailer. I was like, this is the first trailer I ever seen where they got curry chicken looking official. So they got the shit. That shit, You know, Steve McQueen is a beast. Like, he know how to frame shots. Like, that shit is something crazy. Mm. But it's like, and it's overused, but the whole movie is a vibe. You know what I mean? Like, it's basically before the party all the way to after the party. And it goes through all of the mechanics of a good-ass house party. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, so it tells a story about these characters, but, you know, the DJs, it's Mercury Sound. The sound is, that's the name, Mercury Sound. Mm-hmm. That's the selectors for the evening. You know what I mean? You got the one cat, like, toasting. So you see this nigga, like, practicing his shit before the party and shit. The way the shit is shot is beautiful. The way the shit is shot, you feel like you in the party. You feel like this is your party, you through. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you just move it through, like, you hosting it. You seeing, like, the close-ups that they pick. You know what I'm saying? The way that the camera, like, sway. Like, I don't know if it's a steady cam, but, like, the camera, it's like you just moving through. Like, you know how you come through a party? It might be the party you throwing. Mm-hmm. So you still kind of monitoring the shit, but you still feeling it. So you moving. You can't really commit to the dance floor because you just trying to see. So it's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It's the music is crazy. I had the Shazam going crazy. I'm like, oh, what's this? What's that? You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit, I got to put that on the playlist. It feel like, you feel like if you watch that shit at the house, and you put a red light on and you get some weed smoke in the air, you will feel like you in that bitch. Mm. Like, that shit was fire. You see, like, you know, that's just how I feel, the condensation on the walls. There's this one scene where they play this record by Janet Kay called Silly Games. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's the shit. Like, I guess it's like, you know, certain records, I forget, you know, certain records at that point of the night, It's them real, let's slow it down. Mm-hmm. Like find somebody. This is your moment type record, right? So, like, you know, they play this record called Silly Games. And everybody, like, you know, if you hear the lyrics and shit, everybody's, like, really, like, you know, everybody pairing off, choosing who they want to be with. Like, this is the real, you really grinding. You really, like, slowing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the DJ, like, pull the, he, like, fade it out. He bring the vocals down. Like, he just bring it out to where, like, you know, this is the record because everybody in the fucking party is singing the lyrics at the top of their lungs. Like, they feeling that shit. There's no music playing. He might toast a little bit, like, hype it up a little bit, but it's just the party. Like, the entire house party singing that shit, like, in unison. That shit, I've never seen that shit captured in a movie like this before. Like, that shit, you feel like you there. Like, this the beauty of this whole shit, it's probably like an hour and 10 minutes. The entire movie is, like I said, it's really just this party. Mm. There's no other shit going on, and it's not a bad thing at all. Like, you know, there's a couple little plot points. There's some dumb shit that happens or whatever, but it's nothing that, like, takes you away from the moment. Like, this, the centerpiece of this movie is this fucking party.
Right.
So, like, you know, like, so there's that part where they, like, they all singing that shit, and that shit rocks for, like, 3 minutes. Like, that shit is, like, a moment. And then it's like, you know, you go to, like, to the reggae party, the Jamaican parties, and you know how, like, cats, like, the cats that do the shit where them niggas is dancing, and they're, like, they spinning around, and they, like, putting their arms all in the air, like, almost like busting the shot, but, like, they moving with it. Like, you know, like, you, like damn near taking up the whole floor. Like, it start getting a little, you like, all right, family. You know what I'm saying? But they just feeling it. Mm-hmm. There's a way, the nigga, they do that shit. That shit was fire. And then there's this one thing where it's like, I guess the record is called Kunta Kinte Dub. Mm-hmm. And, like, all the Rasta niggas, like, they get hype. Like, this shit is like the knuck if you buck on some old reggae shit. Like, niggas get crazy. Niggas taking their shirts. Niggas is like, you know, like, it's bad, exuberant and shit. This shit is, niggas, you know what I mean? This shit is getting wild. Oh, man, that shit is fire. And then, like, you know, just how they transition back to, like, regular life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just how party's over, back to reality, and then that's the end of the movie. That it is dope. It's worth checking out, man. I really want you to see that shit because, you know, one, as a, you know, person that tells stories through video, plus being a music supervisor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really would want to know what your thoughts are on this movie. This shit is, he killed that. Like, he killed that. The mangrove shit was, it was cool. A lot of people loved that. I thought it was a little too in the woods with the legal stuff, but this shit was fire. Yeah, so. Okay. Check that out. I highly recommend that shit. Lovers Rock.
Yeah, I'm going, yeah, shit, I'm going to have to watch that tonight. Shit, you don't put the hype on the motherfucker now.
Yeah. I hope you like, ah, this shit regular. I don't even think. I think it deserves it. You'll dig it.
Because I know Idris had that movie that had all of, like, the 80s reggae in it that, you know what I'm saying? The soundtrack was really dope to me because it took me all the way back to 183rd Street Flea Market and shit. So, I'm interested to see how they play it, so I'm going to check that shit out. I done put it up already. It's on Amazon, right?
Amazon Prime. Yeah. Both of them are on there. This is the second episode. Yeah.
Small Axe. Yeah, I got it up. I'm going to check that shit out.
Definitely. It's worth checking out, man. Shit, man. You got anything else you want to talk about before we... What you thinking?
Nah, that's it, man. I'm good, man. Shit. Just trying to brave this cold out here. That shit slowed my day down because, shit, you step outside like, ooh, Lord, I don't know if I want to make it outside today. I think I might be on virtual. I might have a little catching up to do, but that was a surprise.
That Atlanta Hawk.
Yeah, that Hawk was brisk. That shit is unforgiving. Shit don't play no games because, you know, you thinking it's comfort like it's usually. But when that damn brisk, cold, whipping ass air, I'm good. It's
coming. Long John season.
And it ain't even like it's, like, you know what I'm saying? It gets colder in other places, but it seems like you expect it in other places. You don't expect that shit here.
Right. That's when I heard it snowed down there. I was like, damn. Yeah. I went to before us.
Yeah, that shit. The streets might be empty now. That's how they keep COVID down.
That was it. That was the only thing that could shut it down.
That's all, man. That's it, man. Shit.
Yeah.
You was on one today.
I hear that. I could dig it. It was a good time. But yeah, definitely check out Lovers Rock. That shit is worth it.
No doubt.
I hear what y'all think, too. Before I go, man, I just want to send a rest in peace shout to Kenny Ortega. He was a great New York comedian, you know. I say Puerto Rican, I think. Latino. He used to play Comedy on the Hump quite a bit. If you've been to Comedy on the Hump, you've definitely seen him. He passed away. Seems like it was due to COVID.
Dang.
And, yeah, man. He was a beast. He was a beast. He used to kill shit there. And well respected in the scene, you know. So, you know, just wanted to send a rest in peace shout out to him.
Rest in peace.
Shit. Till then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Even enemy.
We get in the conversation. We out.